Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Very happy to be back here. And thanks to everybody who covered for me while I was away in Wyoming. I'll talk about that in a little bit, about what a great time I had in Grable and Lovell, Wyoming. But this hour, I'd like to get right into what we're covering because I want people to call. And we're looking for pro-choice people to call. We're asking them, why are you pro-choice? We are pro-life here. Have always been, and we're pro-life Catholics, so you know who you're getting. But we like conversation. We actually think it moves things forwards. So if you'd like to call and tell us why you're pro-choice, 888-318-7884. Take us up on the offer. We want you here. It's not a trick or anything. We'll let you have your say. We want to have a conversation. 888-318-7884. Emily Dineny is our guest. Catholic Converts is her Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all of that. She does a great job online. We have her on the show that we do before this show some days. And we're just delighted that Emily is part of the family here at Catholic Answers. And we used to call her Emily Torres, but we changed to Emily Dineny recently. Emily, thanks for being on the show with us.
Yeah, of course. Si, thank you guys for having me. I'm super excited.
Do you think we did the right thing by changing how we refer to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. She got married, in case you couldn't figure out what that was all about. She got married. 888-318-7884. If you are a pro-choice person, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're Christian or not, anybody can call. It's always been very helpful to us to have these conversations. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to brag a little bit. I honestly don't know anywhere else in the media where you can have the kind of conversations we're going to have for the next hour. I don't think you see honest debates or conversations on CNN. I don't think you see honest conversations where people get to speak from the heart to one another on Fox News or on HBO or on you name it. And so we like that. We like that you're allowed to come here and have an intelligent conversation, share your side of the story. We are not trying to crush anybody, own anybody, or anything like that. 888-318-7884. All we say is, you got to be pro-choice to call today. So if our pro-life friends would hang on, call another day. We are looking for pro-choice folks to have a conversation with. 888-318-7884. Emily, one of the things I find interesting about you is that you are Catholic, your twin sister, not a Catholic. You've gone different routes. Let me ask you this. Did being pro-life follow your conversion to the Catholic faith, or did the conversion come first and then you became pro-life?
Certainly my conversion to the faith came first, and I was always pro-life even when I was a non-denominational Christian. So that wasn't like something hard to accept. The Catholic Church is unashamedly pro-life. And so I think that's one of the biggest issues it's kind of focused on in the, you know, past few decades in the church is life issues. We live in a culture of death, as St. Pope John Paul II would say, said, and, I think it's the church's job, if anyone's, to defend life to the fullest, from life to from the moment of conception to natural death. So
888-318-7884. Only talking to pro-choice people today. This is your opportunity, and we hope that you will take the invitation. 888-318-7884. So how did you become a person who I can find on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok actually having these conversations and defending the pro-life side?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, my user is Catholic.converts. When I was entering right before the summer before I went to college, I was bored. And so I seriously started the social media account just to see, okay, I converted because of something I saw on social media. And so maybe the same could happen for others. And so I kind of just started to post the things that I wish I had seen online when I was a non-denominational Protestant, things that were about the Catholic Church, things that made me, you know, question why I was Protestant. And so I just was like, I'm just going to post and see what happens. And it started to take off. And it's been about 5 years now since I've been doing these social media accounts. And it's, you know, so it's really been a blessing. It's not easy, but at the same time, I think, and that's why I love what we're doing right here and right now, is so many of us, I think, share common ground. People who are religious, not religious, people that are pro-life and pro-choice. Like, a lot of us love people. We care about others. We want what's good for people. And we just have a different view of what that actually constitutes and looks like in the end. But we're not bad people. I want to understand these people, too. I don't think we should paint them as our enemies or anything like that. I think that we all desire, for the most part, the good for other people. And mm-hmm. we just have different perspectives on what that is. And so I think it's important to keep that conversation going instead of just silencing the other person or ignoring them because they have a label on them that's different from yours.
888-318-7884. So it does seem to me that the pro, and I'm not sure if you will agree with this, so I want to see what you think. It seems to me like the pro-life movement was anti-abortion for a long time. And now it is facing suicide as a topic, physician-assisted suicide. It's had to broaden out the pro-life argument. I mean, and even things that many people see as a good, like in vitro fertilization, which is actually quite an alarming attack on life in many ways. Do you feel the same way that I do, that the pro-life movement is having to operate on more fronts than it used to?
100%. And I think that's due to a variety of reasons. But I will say, from people that are pro-choice, they fear that there's an inconsistency among pro-life people and that pro-life people are just kind of operating on a political agenda. And I mean, in most, I kind of on the worst spectrum of it, it's a manipulation. It's a something to control other people, to control women and their bodies and their decisions.
Right.
And so they're afraid that same standard of, you know, caring for human life from the moment of conception is not going to be applicable once the baby is born. And so I think it's important to focus on abortion when we're talking about pro-life and pro-choice issues. But I also think that we need to have a consistent life ethic. And so from the moment of conception, you know, whether the means in which something a person is being conceived, they need to know love from the first moment of their existence. And so if you're using IVF to do that, you know, the problem with that is it's coming from a place of demand. It's coming from a place of viewing children, unfortunately, as commodities that you can purchase, that you can even design. IVF designer babies are becoming more of a thing and a trend in society. And then you take that to end-of-life issues. You know, we have euthanasia. 400 million people around the world have access to euthanasia legally and could request to be killed medically from a doctor due to a variety of reasons, even for mental health reasons. And even minors could request to be euthanized in the Netherlands. That is legal. It has been legal, and it's increasing rapidly over the past few years. There have been more cases with minors approaching these doctors and asking to be euthanized legally.
Oh, Lord.
We are dealing with some serious issues, and it's really important that we're informed about these issues and that we're speaking out against them. That's the only way that change can happen.
We're going to take a quick break, but we're looking for pro-choice callers today. So I will say again, those of you who are pro-life or agree with us on these issues, if you would leave the phone lines open for pro-choice people to call. Maybe you are a pro-choice person in the sense of believing that people should have a right to choose the manner of their dying. Many people might not say I'm pro-choice when it comes to abortion or something else, but they are, in fact, pro-choice at the end of life. If that's you, you're welcome to call here, 888-318-7884. I think there are other people who might say I'm pro-choice in the sense of I believe in individual autonomy. I don't believe anybody gets to tell me what to do, or anyone gets to tell anyone what to do with their body, whether to be pregnant or whether to keep living if they don't want to keep living. If that's you, you are also welcome here, or maybe you're somewhere else on the spectrum. Some people have called and asked us, well, am I pro-choice if I believe in abortion, say, in the first 3 months or in the first trimester or something, but I don't believe in abortion after that? You can define yourself however you want, but yes, you'd be welcome to call and make that argument, because we would see that as a pro-choice argument. It would have a certain kind of pro-life element to it. But if you believe in, the morning after pill or the other means of early abortion, and you want to tell us why, We would love to take your call. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
This is Father Dwight Longenecker. Why do you need to go to confession? Well, it's easy to receive forgiveness for the things we've done wrong. But more importantly than that, one of the beauties of confession is that when we go to confession, we take responsibility for ourselves. Our world is besieged by those who feel entitled and want to blame others and expect others to do everything for them. When we go to confession, by God's help, we're saying, it's my job, it's my responsibility, I'm going to get on and do what I can to change myself and change the world with God's help.
Is the number. Several folks have called, but nobody thus far has stayed on the line. But maybe you will be the first to get on with Emily. Emily Dineny is our guest. Catholic Converts is where you can find her on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, or not?
Yes.
Yes, YouTube. What about, what's the other one? X. Yes or no?
Sort of. I am on there, but I don't like to be on there.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, because it's a super negative place.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a place of negativity. Yeah. And you don't come from a place of negativity, Emily.
I do, but I try to avoid other things I can control. So.
Yeah, fair enough. 888-318-7884. If you are pro-choice regarding abortion at any stage, if you are pro-choice regarding euthanasia or suicide, if maybe you are pro-choice in the sense of I actually don't believe in any of that, but I do believe in vitro fertilization, any of those things, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Why are you pro-choice? That's the question we'll ask when you call. Why are you pro-choice? 888-318-7884. I'm going to try not to make this a straw man. I want to make it a good argument. And so I'm going to reflect the argument I hear, and I would like to hear how you, as an opponent of suicide, would address this. Someone's approaching the end of their life. Let's give them let's say terminal cancer. All right, and it's the cancer's in their bones, which we all know is a cause of horrible suffering. And so they're in a place of real suffering. The consensus of the doctors is this is terminal, and maybe this person has only days to live. Why make them go through the pain of those days? Why not, if they say, no, I want the suicide pills or shot or whatever would be given, why not just allow that, Emily? Why do you have to interfere in this person's personal life?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a pretty real scenario for some people. And so we have to treat it, you know, with compassion. But I would just say, when you open the doors to legalizing and protecting someone murdering themselves or somebody else who is innocent, who did nothing to deserve that crime or that punishment, that you open the floodgates to justifying a whole host of other, you know, moral decisions that are pretty clearly evil and wrong. And so for the case of somebody that's in a great deal of suffering and pain, I think that our perspective as a society and our solution to that is not to just speed it up, is not to just give them the medication that's going to end it all for them, but to accompany them through their suffering. And there is a distinction between letting somebody die and actively killing them. And the person that is taking that suicide medication, even though, you know, they are consenting to it, I would say consenting to something doesn't make it okay. And I think a clear scenario for that would be if somebody came to you and expressed suicidal interest and thoughts, if you were to just say, all right, let me help you get it over with, I mean, you would be an accomplice in that person's murder. You would be arrested. That would be seen wrongly. And I would also say that people who are coming to doctors and asking to be put to death, they are alone. And they don't necessarily sometimes even want to die. In Oregon, which is the only state that has legalized euthanasia in America, 1 in 3 people that are given the suicide medication to go on with their death actually don't end up taking it. And one theory is because in their minds, just having the power in front of them to end their life if they felt like it, that's enough for them to have some sort of reclaimed agency. And so I think people that are suffering, we need to accompany them. We need to be there for them and support them through their suffering. The solution is not to silence their suffering by ending their life.
888-318-7884. If you are in favor of physician-assisted suicide and you'd like to call and tell us why, our question for you today is, why are you pro-choice? And that has to do with at any stage of life. 888-318-7884. So you kind of alluded to this, but I want to explore this a little bit more with you on the suicide side. Mm-hmm. When Catholics talk about palliative care and all of that and hospice and all these things, we're open to these things. And they kind of look like killing people sometimes, in the sense, it's like, okay, so that person that has cancer, that has metastasized and is in the bones, and they're in a horrible amount of suffering, the church would actually say, you can manage their pain, even if, say, you know, the drug that you wanted to give was fentanyl or something like that, or morphine, a powerful opioid. Now, you say to the doctor, if you give this fentanyl, is it likely that this person's life will be shortened? You know, and you go, yeah, the doctor might say, yeah, this is going to be hard on the kidneys. It's going to be hard on the respiratory, you know, it's likely that this will shorten the person's life, but it will take them, it will take away that really unbearable suffering. Why can I do that? And I can't just give them a shot of fentanyl and let them go.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we would say that you can certainly give people pain medication because that's a good thing. If you can tolerate the evil effect of that potentially, which would be they might die as a result because maybe the medication is too much for their body to handle or something of that sort. If you are only tolerating that evil effect, you're not desiring it. So it's not like, you know, let's say Uncle Jimmy is in a severe accident and now he's relying on life support in order to continue being alive and for continued respiration and his heartbeat. And you ask the doctor to give him some pain medication. And in one circumstance, you're asking to it because you see he's genuinely suffering and you want to ease that suffering and for him to be more at peace. On the other hand, maybe you say, hey, yeah, give Uncle Jimmy some extra fentanyl because I want him to die. I want to get this over with. And I want to, you know, he put me in his will and I know I'm going to inherit a lot of stuff if he's gone right now. Clearly, those are two different circumstances, right? Yeah. In one, you're only tolerating the evil effect of, unfortunately, Uncle Jimmy may pass away. In the other, you're intending it. And so those are the distinctions that are made when, you know, it's not like the Catholic Church wants you to suffer and we want your death to be as miserable as possible. But instead, it's we need to always treat people with compassion, and in particular, those who are most vulnerable, which are the sick, the elderly, and those that are in great deals of suffering.
Okay, so because I do think a lot of people fear I won't get the pain medicine I need, but you're saying as a Catholic, we could confidently say you can have the pain medicine you need, even if one of the negative effects, the unintended effect, is that it will shorten your life. One thing we won't say as Catholics is, look, tough it out. You just got to tough it out. That's not the church's teaching. Tough it out is not the church's teaching.
Exactly. Yeah. Death is supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be a beautiful thing. I mean, it's supposed to be the moment in which you are now encountering the Lord. And so it's not supposed to be something that, you know, like suck it up. I mean, we need to accept whatever the Lord's will is for us in that moment of our, you know, last moments of our existence. We need to accept whatever the Lord brings us. But in an ideal world, you know, death would not be something that's filled with horrible pain and horrible suffering, and that, you know, causes people to and people's family members to suffer as a result of witnessing that as well.
888-318-7884. Just two lines open now. So we're going to get ready to go to the phones and let Emily Dineny take some calls. Emily, she's our colleague here at Catholic Answers, which I'm always delighted to get to say that, because she started out on her own answering questions about the Catholic faith, defending life. Catholic converts is what you're looking for if you're looking for Emily. And you can find that on Instagram, TikTok, reluctantly on X, and enthusiastically on YouTube. All right, let's off to the phones we go. Let's start in Los Angeles. Peter is in Los Angeles, California. Peter, welcome. Go ahead with your question. Or excuse me, I'm supposed to say, why are you pro-choice, Peter? Do I not have Peter on line one? All right, hang on. One thing I don't want to do, Emily, I have to do the phones very slowly on why are you pro-choice day, because I do not want to give anyone the impression that I would hang up on them. I won't. let's go to Steve. I'm not exactly sure where Steve is, but I can go to line four. That's okay. Hi, Steve. Why are you pro-choice?
Well, I'm not so much pro-choice. I was going to throw out this perspective.
Okay.
I was greatly abused as a child. I mean, welts on the body stuff, you know?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Steve.
Decades. I mean, I was basically complex PTSD or
right.
maybe borderline personality, lived with that, looking for answers for many years. And, you know, several years ago, I got to my end. And I actually considered, you know, I had a thing of pills and, you know, that I've been saving for years. And I said, I just can't take this anymore. And then I actually was looking online for, okay, maybe I could go to Canada or something like that. Seriously thinking about it.
Okay.
Now, I'm taking from the angle of, you know, I found more help uncovering the pain, the stuff that I had repressed, the anger, the depression, all of those types of things that needed to be addressed before I could get free. And but it was a real, I went to the hospital and stayed off work for 6 months just trying to get over this thing that had plagued me ever since childhood.
Right.
And I was over, you know, I was close to 6 years old, you know?
Yep.
And so I just wanted to throw that out. I'm not a pro-choice for that, but I mean,
but it gives
more
us
than just physical suffering that people are dealing with, you know. And
thank you, Steve. Yes, that's let's get a response from Emily. If you hang on, we'll make it a conversation. If you go, we'll just accept what you gave us. But that's, I mean, Steve is describing a life of tremendous suffering, starting with unspeakable childhood abuse, and then is suffering his whole life with the trauma of that. So, talk to me about suicide in that case.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve, for calling and for sharing your heart with us and your story. And I'm so sorry for everything that you've endured and continue to endure as a result. You know, I would say in the case of mental suffering, physical suffering, all of those things are horrible. And as a Christian, you know, the question we're faced with is why would God allow that suffering to happen if he's so good? And I can't give you a particular reason why God would have allowed that to happen to you or anyone that endures abuse like that. But I will say that your life is infinitely valuable, that it is meaningful. And regardless of, you know, the way that people can treat us and the people that are supposed to love us the most can let us down, regardless of that, you still deserve to live. And that might not mean that you always want to live and wake up every day and feel like you want to live. But from what it sounds like, you were able to get some sort of help, find some sort of freedom and work through those wounds and heal some of them and heal the anger that you're experiencing. And I would say that same hope can be offered to anybody that's dealing with the effects of trauma. And I think that as a society, our first impulse should be that we want to walk with those people and give them the help that they need instead of offering to assist them in ending their own life. And I also would say, I don't think that also helps with the case of abusers, I would say that, you know, somebody, let's talk about abortion, even somebody that is not equipped to be a parent, does not want to be a parent, and who is selfish, allowing them to just go and end the life of their child prematurely, that's not holding abusers accountable. That's not holding people accountable in general to grow up, to mature, to be a good person, and to be a good and decent human being. And so I would say, I'm so sorry for what you've gone through, but your life is meaningful. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you didn't end it all, and you can still make a difference in the lives of those around you and in your family. And Steve, God bless you.
I'm going to come back to you, Steve.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Whatever you got.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's still hard. I mean, there's been definitely great progress. I've got rid of a lot of the negative, but trying to get to the positives of life is very difficult. You know, I just have a really dark, unexpected good attitude about life. And that's just very difficult for me. Some program that I go through. I don't know, I want to plug it or anything like that. I won't say the name of it, but it's designed for people that have been brought up in families that are, it's a 12-step program designed for people that have been brought up in bad families. And that has been a big help to me. And I take the 12 steps and approach them through the gospel and through
baptism. Praise God, Steve.
And things like that. And that's been a great, great help, at least.
Steve, I'll tell you what, don't hang up. Hang on. We're going to come right back on Catholic Answers Live. Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whyweearecatholic.com.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our guest, Emily Dineny, Catholic Converts, Catholic.converts is where you can find her on the various outlets. We asked a question, why are you pro-choice? And I would venture to say, Steve, I wouldn't say surprised, but he went in a direction but maybe that was unexpected when we were talking about suicide. And a very helpful, his point was, look, not all suffering is physical suffering. People have been through terrible traumas. It seems to me, Steve, that you are at this point in your life, even though you continue to deal with this maybe negative or pained, traumatized way of facing life, that you're glad you're alive, that you are glad you didn't leave.
Okay, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, increasingly more.
Praise God.
you know, it's difficult. I mean, I don't feel very functional in a lot of ways. There's some ways I am better. I mean, it was hard for me to get out of bed for decades. Mm. And I just go to work was a very, very difficult thing. And now that has dissipated quite a bit over the last just several years.
Yep.
Turnarounds can happen, but they're not easy. And I'm not by any means there yet. I mean, I still have anger at times that I can't sometimes feel like I think straight.
Yep.
I don't have the emotional outburst that I used to have. I feel like a little bit more peace inside. But, you know, and then the question of why did this happen, that still causes grief, you know.
Steve, it's a great pleasure for us to, not pleasure, but great honor really for us to get to, that you would share this with us. This is, I didn't see this, this opportunity coming. So you've really graced this program today. I do have, I'm going to go on because I have several other people that would like to share their perspective on why they're pro-choice. Steve, if you'd like a book, I'd love to give this book out. It's called Secrets from Heaven. It's about the sayings and parables of Jesus. We'd be happy to send it to you. All you have to do is give us an address and we'll send it out. It's entirely up to you. You don't have to take it if you don't want, but it is a beautiful book on the things that Jesus said, on what Jesus had to say. It does, in listening to Steve, Emily, and I'm going to go on and let another caller on, but it does strike me that if we just said yes to suicide, we would... maybe these programs that have been helpful to Steve would go away. That's what my worry is, that, look, we'll stop thinking about how to treat people with medicines, about how to treat people with therapies. We'll stop worrying about all of that because we'll say, as long as you're not here, you won't be hurting anymore. We'll just send people off.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You would be eliminating the person, not the problem.
Yeah. Right. And I do think one of the reasons that's really important to listen to people like Steve is so people don't get complacent and be like, oh yeah, there's the medical system will take care of it, or no, we need to get better at the way that we, this is something the Catholic Church teaches. You know, the Catholic Church is not the church of the government should do nothing. No, that is not the teaching of the Catholic Church. A government has a role and we should have more care for people like Steve, and not just the government, the church should do more everything. But this is something that we should have more attention to. And I'm glad that Steve called. Peter, I don't think I got through, maybe I pushed the wrong button before, but I'm sorry that I did if that's the case. Peter is in Los Angeles watching on YouTube. Peter, why are you pro-choice?
Hi, yes. While I am morally pro-life, I'd like to know whether legislation is the most grace-filled way to protect the unborn. And I can break that down and just...
That'd be fine. Flesh it out for us a little bit. We want to give you a chance,
sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. In terms of, like, you know, there's like, I think a few pillars that, you know, I'm frankly unsure about. But in terms of, like, there's like an idea of like a primacy of conscience where, you know, the role of the state is to protect the agency and moral free will of the individual. But, you know, secondly, you know, I think about, you know, I had met that we should not meet evil with evil. And what I mean by that is here's my priest as an example once told me that he is not only anti-death penalty, but also supports immense grace for those who would commit a violent crime and ideally not even give them harsh penalty, penal punishment, or like life imprisonment for those. So similarly, for punishing those who commit abortion, or the doctors, or particularly the women, I would say, whether or not that's the most grace-filled way to protect the unborn.
Okay, Peter, thank you. Is it, Emily?
Yeah. So I would first start off with saying, I think that your idea of why the law exists in the first place is a little misguided, because the Catholic Church would teach that the reason that we have laws in the first place in society is to promote the common good. That's first and foremost why. And in particular, the God-given rights that we possess on a natural level, like the right to live. And so when it comes to something like abortion, where you are directly impeding on that, you're threatening that the right for the unborn child to live, there would be no such thing as the right to abort them. That would be nonsensical, because rights are only grounded first in what God has given us in a natural sense, which is first and foremost the right to live. And so not only would you be impeding on the rights of the unborn, but also you're not promoting the common good through that law that would make it okay for women to obtain abortions, because you're harming, of course, the fetus, but you would also be harming the mother who is now, you know, incurring a grave sin on her soul, the sin of murder of her own child. So I would start off with that. Like, what are your thoughts on that understanding of why laws exist in the first place? And how do you kind of understand the legal protection of the unborn human beings in the womb?
Well, I would say that I largely agree with you, but I'm not speaking out against I don't think that moral, like, they have a freedom of choice. But I'm focusing here on the punitive action of the law laws, and then the priest, for example, being against life imprisonment, even life imprisonment for like even the harshest of criminals is an example of that.
For sure. So would you say, apart from, you know, how we're actually going to deal with the repercussions and the punishment of people who break this law, would you say in general it would be a good thing for abortion to be illegal completely?
I would say if people understood laws the way that you do, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I would say, okay, I think that's where we have to kind of start. And then we have to understand, okay, what is the most humane way to deal with people that are seeking abortions and people that are actually performing them? And in the case of doctors, I would say they are very culpable, because they know what they're doing. First of all, I mean, they know because of their medical background. And secondly, because they're the ones actually performing it. They deal with the aftermath of the fetus. And so I would say that if we're going to blame somebody, we need to blame the doctors that, made this oath to protect human life and yet are going against that very oath by killing it. And so I would say that. And then in regards to the women seeking them, 60% of women that seek abortion say if they just had enough emotional or financial support from those around them to be a mother, that they would have wanted to have kept the baby. But unfortunately, because they didn't have that support, they felt pressured to go and get an abortion. And in fact, there's a large number of women who do feel pressured to go and get an abortion. I would say 70% of women who had abortions reported high levels of pressure or coercion from people around them. So I think that's what we have to keep in mind. I'm very compassionate towards women who go and get abortions, because I would say most of them are there not because they want to be necessarily, just because they feel it's the only option they have and they're desperate. So I am certainly pro finding, humane and compassionate ways to deal with these women who are seeking them, instead of just saying, oh, they need to be arrested for murder.
What do you think, Peter?
Well, I mean, I actually completely agree that we should work toward eliminating economic and social pressures that lead to abortions. Although it does open the question, again, going back to the priest's example, should we, for those who do willingly don't feel that those pressures, those women who feel like they don't feel those economic and social pressures, should they face harsh repercussions like we would face for murder, like a life imprisonment or whatnot?
I would say my personal opinion, and it's not as if the Catholic Church has given one, but my personal opinion would be yes, to some extent there needs to be some sort of consistency, right? Because if we are believing that the unborn are human beings that have equal rights to you or me, then there should be consistency in the law. And, federally speaking, if somebody murders a pregnant woman, that's considered a double homicide. And so under federal law, they can understand unborn human beings as somebody that, is equal to the mother, which is why it's a double homicide. And so I do think there needs to be consistency, but I think it needs to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis, because we just don't know how culpable some women are due to, the jargon of it's just a clump of cells. We don't know how exactly aware they are of what they're doing. So
Peter, I want to say thank you. You brought us right to the break. I hope we gave you a fair chance to express your view. That's what we're trying to do. Why are you pro-choice? We're asking you. You want to call? You want to talk to Emily? 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I just wanted to start by sharing that I absolutely love EWTN and everything that EWTN does. I started off just listening to one show randomly, checking it out, and now every time I'm in the car, that's all I listen to. And when I'm out doing things, I'm listening to all the podcasts. I really enjoy it and really appreciate all the work that EWTN does.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. We are taking questions from pro-choicers. If you are pro-choice, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We're talking to Emily Dineny on this topic. So let's jump back into the calls. We go to Quinn in Ames, Iowa, listening to us on or watching us on YouTube. Quinn, why are you pro-choice? Darren, can you hit the button?
Hey, guys.
Hey there, go ahead.
Just to start, I'm huge fans of the channel. I am not pro-choice. I would consider myself more of an abolitionist. I believe abortion is murder. And one thing I've ran into recently is the problem with the pro-life movement. And they've been shutting down bills to completely abolish abortion. And that kind of scares me because I think as a Catholic, we believe it's murder and we're not kind of legislating it that way.
Yeah, for sure. I would express similar concerns. I mean, I think that if we're going to talk about, you know, the conservative party, the Republican Party that claims to embody these pro-life values, there's a lot of inconsistencies. I mean, just in their support of IVF and the death penalty, but then beyond that, you know, there's in many states where they do ban abortion from conception until, you know, I mean, from the moment of conception onward, they still sometimes will make exceptions for the case of rape, for example. And so I would say the law is very inconsistent, and that is discouraging. But I don't think it says anything against the pro-life movement as a whole. I would say it shows something against the conservative kind of movement in the country right now, which, you know, is not always consistent.
Okay, so one question. So I would say that, like, abortion should always be wrong, and we should say that it's illegal, and we should penalize both the person performing the abortion and the person receiving the abortion, whether that's a man, you know, crushing up the pill and giving it to the woman, or the woman just taking the pill or going in to receive an abortion. I would say that no matter what, we should criminalize it. Is that where you guys stand as well?
So I would say the church hasn't given an official position on this. And from my own kind of personal research and opinion, I would say that from the kind of numbers that I read, I don't know if you caught that, but 60% of women who are going into the abortion clinics, they would have chosen to carry their child full term if they felt they had enough emotional or financial support to get them through that. And 70% of women who had abortions reported high levels of pressure or coercion to abort from family members or friends. So I think it can, especially when you're online and you see these women who get abortions and are bragging about getting their abortions, it's very sickening and evil. And I will not diminish that at all because it's horrible. I would say those people are the outliers compared to, you know, what we know about women walking into abortion clinics, the average woman, which is she doesn't feel like her, maybe the child's father's not in the picture anymore. He left her. She doesn't feel like she's emotionally or financially supported. She has people around her telling her, just go get an abortion, just go get one. And so she does it kind of begrudgingly. She doesn't, that wouldn't be her first choice if it were free. You know, and under Catholic moral teaching, if somebody is not doing something completely and totally free of their own volition, then it can't even be said to constitute a mortal sin. So I would say, as much as yes, killing an unborn human being through abortion is murder, 100% it is, I don't know if the solution is to criminalize all women and all doctors who seek to obtain one and perform one. But we can disagree about that. You can be pro-life and you can disagree with people on that. And yeah. What do you think?
I don't think that women are dumb. I don't think they are dumb enough to not realize they're murdering a child. I think if you set a law that said it's murder, women would realize that and treat it as murder, and they would not go kill their children. It's the same as going walking down the street and killing someone now. I think if you tell women that they're dumb and they don't realize it's a child in their womb, they're going to believe it, and they've been fed this propaganda for all these years. And the pro-life movement's just kind of slowly tried to put a deadline for when we can murder our children rather than just say when it is, at conception. I think that's where I struggle with, like, I'm a Catholic. I can't stand when Catholics can't just say it's murder and we can punish women who are murdering their children. I don't see how that works in your worldview. Or the Catholic.
So it certainly could be a just thing to punish them. Yeah, 100%. But we're not called to exercise. I mean, we're called to exercise justice, but we're also called to exercise mercy, right? Mercy is kind of the higher calling. And so I'm not saying that we should just let women go without any sort of consequences or anything like that. But, you know, even in the case of somebody committing homicide to somebody that's born already, the consequences that they're going to face if they were pressured into doing that are going to look different than if they just, on their own volition, made up a plan and went to do it. So I think that needs to be put in mind when we're talking about this case. Sai, sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
No, you didn't cut me off. I was trying to cut you off. That's my that's my job, Emily. I just wonder if, I mean, one thing that I'm thinking of as Quinn is speaking in such clear moral terms is that actually the life of the child is hidden inside the body of the woman. And this does make a tremendous difference. And we don't want to be in a position where a woman has to justify her miscarriage. Or, like, I while one might say, yes, it's murder to take the life of a child, you certainly wouldn't want a society where every miscarriage is an occasion for law enforcement to get involved. And if we deny the basic fact that the child is hidden, morally you can say, yes, it's the same thing, but in a practical sense, it's not the same thing as a born child who everybody can see is out in the world and you can tell if what has happened to that child. God shrouded the child in the mystery of the woman's body. God did that on purpose. And I don't think we should pretend like that doesn't matter. It does matter. It would be really shocking to live in a world where a woman had to justify her miscarriage. What do you think, Quinn?
Sorry to interrupt. That is completely untrue. It would be the same as if a child died, unless there was a reason for it to be investigated. They would not investigate a miscarriage. If a woman came in and she had a miscarriage and they had reason to believe she was taking substances illegally, then they would do the same thing they would do now if they had the same belief.
So I think that you're wrong about that, Quinn. I'm sorry, you're just simply wrong about that. It has happened in some jurisdictions that women have been investigated for miscarriages. And you can say they wouldn't do that. I don't know who those they are, because when you give government power, government abuses that power. That's just the facts, Quinn. I got to say thank you, though, for the call, because I got to get to James in Pensacola, Florida, who's listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. James, welcome. Why are you pro-choice?
I'm pro-choice because where there's life, there's hope. And I've lost both my parents recently, and over the last few years, I realized that they gave me something that I have to repay at some point to somebody, in my opinion. And That's life. And hopefully one day I'll be able to do that. My question was specifically as it relates to men who are overlooked in the decision-making process, and a woman has the abortion regardless of how the man feels about the abortion. And all they seek is either the financial counsel that the man can offer or the or support for the decision to me to remain in confidence so that they can have somebody they can go to for counsel. But never does the man get thought of as being a parent or being a father figure.
Yeah, no, there is certainly a double standard happening, I think, among many pro-choice mindsets, which is the father doesn't get a say in this baby's life and whether they can live or not. But also, if you abandon this child and you don't support them and you're not involved in their life, then you're a deadbeat father and screw you. So there certainly is a double standard. And I think one reason that I am not pro-choice is because I think morally speaking, it's very icky that you would have to justify, if you're being consistent with that logic that you just kind of worked out for us, you'd have to be consistent in saying, yeah, the father doesn't get a say in whether the child lives or not. So he doesn't have any obligation to support this child going forward because it's totally the woman's decision on whether this child's going to be brought into the world or not. And I just think that's horrible because I don't think that any father who abandons their children should be like, you know, just okay, see ya, without any sort of consequences, without any sort of just even moral disapproval for doing that. So I would say, yes, fathers need to be involved, and pro-choice people should have in their mind that it took two to create that baby. That baby does not just have the mother's DNA. It has a combination of the mother and the father. And so that father, you know, should have, I mean, abortion shouldn't be happening, period. But if they don't want to make excuses for deadbeat fathers or fathers that abandon their children or are absent from their child's life, which, by the way, we know disproportionately harms children as they grow older to live in a single mother household, then they have to say that the father should have a decision in that child's life. So I'm curious, I'm a little confused because by what you're saying, it sounds like you're pro-life, but I'm curious why you in particular brought this issue up.
Choice a number of years ago, and now I'm pro-life.
Ah,
awesome. Okay. Thanks be to God.
I missed that too. I have to say I was having trouble following the argument, but well, thank you, James. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our guest, Emily Dineny, you can find her at Catholic Converts on Instagram, TikTok, X, Twitter, YouTube. I realize one of those was a repeat, but I'm old, so I'm allowed to do that. Why are you pro-choice? We've got time to take another call if somebody would like to call, but I also enjoy speaking with Emily, and I'm happy to do that. 888-318-7884, the number if you'd like to get in. We'll try our best to get you on. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take that caller on line one, and we're just going to risk it. Caller, you are on the air. Are you pro-choice? Hello?
I'm pro-life.
Oh, wait, did I go back to the caller?
Kill me.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll tell you what, it's nice to speak with you again. Now that I've spoken with you twice, I'm going to give you a book. If you want it, I'll send you a copy of Secret. You can't make somebody be on the show twice and not give them a book. All right, hang on. We'll send you a book if you'd like it. Just give us an address, and we'll send you Secrets from Heaven about the parables and sayings of Jesus. Emily, years ago.
Why don't I give the pro-life argument? So anyone listening could potentially disagree with it, call in and see what they think is wrong with it. So this is a common misconception, but you don't need to be Catholic. You don't need to be religious to believe that abortion is wrong. It's not just something religious people hold to. Yeah, many pro-life people are religious, but you don't have to be religious to be pro-life. All you have to believe is that all human beings deserve equal rights. And from the moment of conception, from the moment of fertilization, when the sperm cell and the egg are united and form a zygote, that is a unique human organism that is created with separate DNA from their mother and from their father that, if left in their proper environment, will continue to develop and grow and turn into a fully fledged looking human being like you and me. And so that the pro-life argument is, if that's when human life begins, if all of us were at one point a zygote, a tiny little embryo or fetus in our parents' wombs, then if we deserve protection now, we deserve protection then. All human beings deserve the right to live and deserve protection. And so, especially when they're innocent, which the unborn are, because they haven't done anything wrong. So if all human beings deserve it, that are innocent, deserve the right to live, well, then it just naturally follows that those in the womb who are human and are innocent also deserve the right to live, and they deserve to be protected.
Did you just time that so that the music would start playing right when you completed the excellent pro-life argument that you just made? Emily Dineny, it's always a pleasure when you're here with us. Thanks for coming in and doing this.
Oh, of course. Thank you guys for having me. It was awesome.
Would you be willing to do it more often? Because we used to do Why Are You Pro-Choice? And I'd like to get back in the habit of doing it. Not just do it once, but would you come get in the habit of doing it with us?
I would love to.
All right. Very good. Hey, Catherine Rose is coming up. She's got a beautiful book called Return to Beauty, A Return to Beauty, Ancient Catholic Wisdom and Modern Fashion. Yes, we're going to do a fashion show. Well, a show on fashion right after this on Catholic Answers Live.